and people will say he's in a better place. What's wrong with that?
Fire away on that one, because I know that's a big one for you.
I would avoid that one at all costs. That is the wrong time and place to be bringing that up, because to someone who has just lost somebody that they loved with all their heart, the only place they want them to be is right there.
Mm-hmm. Right next to them.
Yeah.
Welcome, everyone, to podcast number 184, Renew Your Mind. With us today, we have Senior Pastor Paul Gruenberg. We have retired Pastor Barry Sweet. We have Pastor Jeremy Tarrou. We have our Youth and Family Director and Praise Band Leader, Jordan Kettlewell. Myself, Dana Hall, is the moderator, and our very special guest, Julie Kettlewell, as a grief counselor. And we've been having, we want to pick up right away where we left off from our last podcast about what are some of the best and the worst things to actually say to someone in grief. So, Julie?
All right. This is probably an anxiety issue for anybody who's ever had to go to a visitation at a funeral home or at a funeral. Is, you know, you have to go up and you need to say something to the bereaved. And you don't know what to say, so you go up there and you say something that, well, I've heard my parents say this, and I've heard so-and-so say this, so it must be the right thing, so you say it. And more often than not, it's probably the wrong thing to say, but, you know, you do it because you've heard it over and over and over again, and you know, your parents heard it from their parents, and, you know, it goes through generations.
It was their time,
yeah, that's a bad one. But yeah, so you say these things, and they end up being just empty platitudes. And after a while, the bereaved are standing there. They're already just in a state. And so they're not even hearing any of them anymore, because the same ones are repeated over and over and over again. What they want to hear is what a wonderful person their loved one was, or a fun memory you had of that person, or a warm memory that you had, or, you know, sometimes if you just don't know what to say, just don't say anything. Just give them a hug and say, I'm here. Or, you know, just give them a hug. But there are some things that are just so hurtful and offensive, and I think we should talk about those, because people need to know. It's more important to knowing what not to say.
Yeah.
Than what it is.
I like what
say.
You said, that maybe you learned this, you know, from other people, and you didn't know it was bad.
That's right.
So I think, you know, don't feel bad if you're saying the wrong thing, but now recognize it going forward.
Exactly. Exactly.
So Julie, you have something you've given to us from grief.com. Grief.com, and one is the worst things to say to someone in grief, and the other one is the best things to say to someone in grief. So let's just look at the worst things.
As
we go through these and you're listening, think in terms of, have you heard this mentioned before? As Julie was saying, your parents or your aunts and uncles or someone older than you, you've heard this used, or maybe have even used it yourself. These are not the things you want to say.
Right. Yeah, I refer to them as kind of generational faux pas, because it's just been passed down and passed down. Right. So we need to come up with some new ones. But I'm sorry.
No. So just looking at this list, at least she lived a long life. Many people die young.
Seems like never start with at least.
Never start with at least.
Yeah, in the beginning of that phrase, you're minimizing the situation.
Right.
That's right. You have diminished the death and the life. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So for a lot of people, they might think number two is a good one, because it's been a prolonged illness. It was, you know, the time was going to come when they were going to die. And people will say, he's in a better place. What's wrong with that?
Fire away on that one, because I know that's a big one for you.
Well, I'll tell you what. I would avoid that one at all costs. It doesn't even matter if that's part of what your belief system is. That is the wrong time and place to be bringing that up, because to someone who has just lost somebody that they loved with all their heart, the only place they want them to be is right there.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Right next to them.
Yep. The thought of saying any place is better than that. And I called somebody out on that once, and I was in grief. I wasn't thinking. I was just being honest. And I said, you know, I think right here with me would really be a better place, but thanks. Mm-hmm. And that person probably felt awful, and I felt awful for making that person feel awful, but it just, my filter wasn't on, and it just,
well, you were grieving.
Came out.
Sure. Yeah.
And so I bet that person's never said that to him again, but, you know.
Are you a good educator?
I think it's.
I didn't even know I was an educator, and there I was.
I think it's important mindset-wise for us to just realize in those situations that it's not incumbent on anyone else to tell the person. It's incumbent on that person to come to terms with that on their own.
Right.
And accept that. Okay, my loved one's in heaven now, and I'm at peace with that.
Right,
right.
But it's no one else's responsibility to tell you
how you should
how you should how you be should. Feeling about
that's
that.
That's right. How you should be looking at it.
So there's number three. She brought this on herself. You can think of that in regard to like drug addiction or something like that. Why wouldn't you say that?
Blame.
Well, judgment has no place there. And, you know, give me your list of imperfections. Oh, you don't have any? Mm-hmm. See, that would be just like me to blurt that out. Mm-hmm. That, I can't believe anybody would ever say that.
I would hope not. Just no helpfulness ever. There at all.
Or how about, there's a reason for everything. I hate that one.
Well,
It's as though God, and to me, this is almost saying that God took your loved one away, and that's the reason for it.
Mm-hmm.
There's a reason for everything. For getting in a car accident with somebody who is drunk, or, you know, there's no
it's
reason
part
for
of God's
that.
Plan.
Right. And that almost is like blaming too, because, what did that person do that was so bad that they're paying for it with their life? Or what did I do that he's taking my loved one away from me, you know?
And it makes you angry at God.
That's right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's right.
And that tends to happen anyway.
Oh,
it does. So,
it does.
Aren't you over him yet? He's been dead for a while now.
Just want to slap him when you hear that one, don't you?
Pretty much.
Well, and that's the ignorance of understanding grief.
Right.
And this is where we talked earlier about knowing and understanding a process, a general process of grief, will give you clues as to not saying some of these things.
Right, right.
I'm not even going to say number six.
I have actually heard that.
You can have another child still.
Or at least you have other children at home.
Yeah.
Okay, well, how does that fill that?
In what realm is that helpful?
It's not helpful.
Not at all.
You can have another child? Okay, do you know that for a fact? How do you know that?
And even if so, you can't have
you
that
can't
child.
You can't replace that child that you just lost.
And that comes out of just ignorance and trying to come up with words that help that don't help.
Yeah.
And number seven is just as bad. She was such a good person. God wanted her to be with him.
Mm. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
It's like BS, you know? I'm sorry.
Yeah.
God knew how much I loved them. Why couldn't have God left that person with me longer?
Right. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Number eight, we've kind of touched on. I know how you feel.
You
may have lost a spouse, and you may have lost a spouse in the same way, but your relationship is different.
Yep.
How you process is different. You don't know exactly how people feel. And that goes with, I understand how you feel. You just don't say that. Number nine, she did what she came here to do, and it was her time to go. Oh, Jeremy, how do you feel about that one?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I would be like, I didn't know you were God. Okay. Yeah. Thank you for defining. Yeah,
thanks thanks for rendering a judgment on that. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that's,
and then
it's just not helpful.
Number 10, be strong. It's like,
okay, that is the one that just sends me right into orbit. And I tell people, you know, you don't have to be strong.
Yeah, and I totally agree. You don't have to be strong. But when people are saying it, they mean it well. Like, be strong as you go forward. And they have no idea how terrible that really is.
Yeah. and I understand that perspective, but that's not the way it's received when you're standing there and when you're on the receiving end. And then, you know, and I had so many people tell me that. And then they would say, look, at you know what? Life hasn't stopped. You still have to do this, 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 and this. Actually, no, I don't. So mind your own.
So all of these are... and I think you mentioned it, Barry. These are these sentences with some type of form of at least.
At least.
Yeah. As though we're discounting the loss.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And, well, at least you're here. Or at least, you know, you still have a house. Or at least, you know, that's those things aren't helpful to a grieving person.
Well, Jeremy, you looked like you were wanting to say something.
Oh, no. I just had back on the be strong comment. Mm-hmm. To me, that's speaking to them, you're not strong.
Yeah.
And you need to become
strong. You're not good enough.
Right. You're not in strength. You know, get yourself and that's some strength. You know,
shame comes in because you're made to feel bad because you're not all put together.
But there's another principle that's coming to me here. It's that just because something is true in this situation does not mean it's helpful for you to say it.
Exactly.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Like if this person was belonged to Christ, then that person is in a better place. That's true. But that doesn't mean it's helpful for you to say that.
That's right. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. It's not helpful
and it's
at
not
all.
The right
timing time. Or, right. Yeah. Yeah. So just because it's true doesn't give you license to say it.
Nearly everything on the list outside of the aren't you over him yet, nearly everything on the list can be true to an extent. Mm-hmm. And all of them would arguably be well-intentioned.
Mm-hmm. Oh, sure.
Right.
You know, probably
it's
usually
the delivery.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
And the timing. It's not the right time.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So even though you went through these before, can we list again or at least the things that we should say? I mean, we've said a lot
absolutely.
Of them.
Can I? So to start that list, the start of the best things to say list, I think is a crossover between the two. And please, everyone, feel free to correct me if I'm wrong. And I know you always do. I'm so sorry for your loss. I feel like that can land on both lists. Because it can be so, it can sound and feel so cliche and empty.
It's one of those empty platitudes.
Yeah.
That it's the go-to. So,
So it is a safer place to be than in the list of the... Not
it
things
is.
To say.
It is much safer.
And most people are sorry for your loss.
And sorry for what you're going through.
Mm-hmm. Well, and you're acknowledging that it is a loss.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
You're naming that.
But that's, I mean, that's a weird
one. It doesn't
one.
Really help, though.
No, it's so not good. Really helpful. It just gets you through that line.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. That's gets you through
that. So number two, I wish I had the right words. Just know I care. And I think anyone who is going through a bereavement line or meeting with somebody for the first time, that's absolutely true.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I wish I had the right words, but I don't. But just know I care. Mm-hmm. I don't know how you feel. Again, that's acknowledging the truth.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm here to help you in any way I can.
You have to be willing to back that up, though, and not make it an empty
phrase. That's
right,
an empty phrase, yeah.
Number four, you and your loved one will be in my thoughts and prayers. How does that help?
You know, I've got mixed emotions on that one too because it feels so, sometimes people say it and look at you with this, I don't know, with such pity that it makes you feel almost uncomfortable. Even though I love that people pray for my intentions or for my, you know, we pray for other people. So I understand that. So it's comforting in a way, but at the same time, it almost makes me uncomfortable, because then I feel like sometimes it doesn't sound sincere. Mm-hmm. Or that's another thing that people just say.
And don't follow through.
But again, that's maybe just my insecurities or whatever, that sometimes it hits me wrong. And a lot of times it's the person that's saying it that can hit wrong.
No, I think there's a lot of validity to that, because it's even gotten to a point where, anymore, especially in our super sped up abbreviated world, people will not even go to the extent of saying the full phrase. They'll just go, thoughts and prayers.
Yeah.
That means nothing. You might as well be saying peas and peanuts.
Yeah.
And usually, though,
or you just do this.
If you know the person in front of you, you know whether it's legitimate or
that's
not,
right.
whether they'll really do it or
that's
not.
That's exactly
a
right.
A lot of people that come by you, though, that may say that, you don't have a clue.
That's right. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And that's where it's not helpful.
So, then it's empty. Then it's empty. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So number five, when I've been in with families, usually it's either a long illness or an older person, and they pass away. For me, that's a really sacred time. Especially if I know they're a Christian, they've crossed the threshold from this life to the life to come. They're with Jesus. All of those platitudes that we don't want to say at the moment. But one of the things, I like to try to get people to just remember their loved one. And even when they're still alive, we'll talk. I want to focus on their life. What are the memories that you have? What was that thing you told me about having gone fishing with them and caught this big one? Or what was their favorite joke? And getting them to think in terms of the wonderful times they've had together. Right. Now, your death was the death of a daughter, and not like a husband or an uncle or something like that. Not that it changes grief. But you have a history that you can go back to and remember some joyful times or some funny times, like you said, to be able to laugh at and hear yourself laughing again.
We laugh about her all the time.
Well, I think that's something I think is so helpful, and to give up a family secret. I'm sorry about this, but the family secret is not that we've had a lot of death in our family, but over the course of the last decade or so, we've lost a number of people in our family.
Yeah.
And something that started as, well, we have a cheeky running joke that we put the fun in funeral, which sounds so horrible, but the laughter is important. It's remembering that person and laughing. But we've actually, unfortunately, there's been enough of them over the years that we've got a standard routine that we do now. Mm-hmm. If a family member passes, we all just get together that night. We don't wait for a viewing. We get together that night. We cry, but we do mostly a lot of laughing.
Yep.
We talk about that person's life. Mm-hmm. That, I think, is the most helpful. Mm-hmm.
It gets us through the next few days just nothing but. Yeah.
Well, and think in terms of what happens for the process between the death and the funeral. People oftentimes put those picture boards up. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of healing that goes on there.
Sure.
A lot of memories, a lot of, recalling the person in their best. Mm-hmm. And I try to move in that direction with people. Tell me about a good experience you guys had together or something like that, so that they're not just, the grieving is there. You can't move them from grieving, but you can also remind them of just the joy of having been with them.
Right, mm-hmm. Right.
Let's see. Number six, I'm always just a phone call away. Nowadays, there's texting and stuff like that. One of the things I'm sure the grieving persons hear a lot are, how are you doing? Do you want that question asked?
No.
Yeah.
No.
Not helpful.
Because then we have to lie. Mm.
That should be on the worst things list.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. And then give a hug instead of saying something.
That's my favorite one.
Me too. Or I think I mentioned this last time, but I'll just say I love you.
Yep.
And hug.
Yeah.
That's depending on who it is.
You can't go wrong.
And that's.
Number eight, we all need help at times like this. I'm here for you.
then mean it.
You got to back it up.
Yeah.
That's right.
And then number nine, I am usually up early or late if you need anything. And that's part of the follow through, right?
Mm-hmm. Again, you have to be sincere in that.
And then you've already mentioned number 10, say nothing, just be with the mm-hmm. person.
It's kind of like the hug.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And it's also important to remember that you don't have to, if you really don't know what to say, don't start just saying things to fill up all that empty space surrounding the casket and the bereaved, because trying to distract them from, you know, why we're there. Well, they know why you're there. Everybody knows why, you know, filling the air with words is not going to.
Yeah. That's, right. I've been thinking this, we've been going through both of these lists, that less is more.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
The more you talk, the more likely something's going to come out.
That's right.
Not yeah. helpful.
That's
so.
Right.
With the one exception of sharing fond memories.
Right.
Yes.
Yeah.
You know,
yes.
That one,
right.
That one, it just seems, you almost can't really go wrong. It's going to be hard.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's going to be hard for everyone involved. Mm-hmm. But if you're just sharing a loving, fond memory, that seems to be such a solid way to be able to connect with that person mm-hmm. yeah. in such a difficult and mm-hmm. frankly yeah. awkward time. That's an awkward time mm-hmm. to approach somebody and try to
right.
talk to someone.
Yeah.
And I think the key word is fond. You don't want to dredge up bad memories
right.
or anything like
yeah.
that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So.
Well, we're not going to get to our last topic, Julie.
Oh,
I guess you're coming back.
Oh my
yes.
gosh.
I'm so sorry. Wow. We are going to have to wrap it up.
All right.
What we did want to talk about just as a teaser, and if Julie will come back again.
It's my 3 G's.
Yeah, the 3 G's, why grieving people isolate themselves, guilt, grace, and gratitude. So, and I know we are out of time. So.
All right. Well, so. You're forced to have me back then?
Yep.
Is that what you're saying?
We invite you back.
Yes, well, I'll check my calendar.
All right.
I would be really happy to come back.
Okay. Well, we would love
Great.
To. Julie has a Facebook page that's coming out, so make sure to look for that. Then we can talk about that a little
yeah.
bit more.
And that will yeah. be titled Regarding Grief.
Regarding Grief.
Regarding
pretty
grief.
Much covers, leaves it pretty open-ended. I can touch on a lot of things.
And that's okay. Facebook page.
That's Facebook. My website probably won't be up for, I don't know, the way things have been going lately. Could be another month. So
good grief.
I know. Good
I'm
grief.
I'm sorry.
Okay.
I had to. I had to find
I
it all.
I knew that was
going to
come up
it.
Somewhere. It couldn't not come up.
So, all right. Just as a reminder, as we approach Easter for Holy Week, we have several activities at the Gaylord Methodist Church. That's where we come to you from. So check out our website Thursday, Friday, and Sunday. There's a lot of things going on, and we'd love to have you join us. And then on Easter Sunday, we have, did you say 3 services?
Yes, we have a sunrise,
sunrise.
Service at 7:30. That's going to be youth-driven, and then we'll have our traditional Easter service at 9 a.m. and then our contemporary service at 10:45. And
okay.
between 9 and the 10:45, mm-hmm. we will have a breakfast.
Okay, so please come. If you can't come in person, though, you can watch us on Facebook and YouTube as well. And we also have Wednesday evening services every second and fourth Wednesday at 7:15 p.m. If you have any questions, you can contact us at 989-732-5380. Check out our website. And we just really appreciate you listening today. Thank you, Julie, for coming.
Thank you very much.
Thanks, Julie.
Bye.